As I mentioned last week, I've long been wanting to get back to the theme of the many aspects of the love of Jesus. I believe that if there's anything the Church of Jesus Christ should be about, it's Jesus himself, his words, his ways, and especially his love. Jesus declared that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love others. So if love is the most important thing to Jesus, and we are his followers, well, it should be the most important thing to us. But there are many aspects to love, and the Gospels show us the many aspects of the love of Jesus in the various accounts. His love is merciful, his love is compassionate, his love is gentle, it's a shepherd-hearted love, and so much more. But since there is so much to say about the love of Jesus, which would make this a very long theme to cover week after week, I will work other themes in as well. As for today, everybody loves a hero. And there's a very beautiful, heroic side to the love of Jesus. Think about superheroes. Everything we love about the idea of a superhero, the bravery, the strength, the readiness to throw himself into the fight against the greatest and most evil of monsters, all to rescue the weak and defenseless humanity. Well, that's what a superhero does, and that's what Jesus did for us. In fact, Jesus is the only superhero the human race has ever had. All the rest were pretend. And for this reason, imaginary superheroes can't save anyone. But Jesus is the real superhero, and he saves people every day. There's a powerful, compassionate, courageous love behind all Jesus does. And any attention we give to that love just may be the most enriching thing about the Christian life. His love is deep and wide and high and long. And the Gospels tell us so much about that love. If we care to take the time to investigate it and meditate on it and treasure it, and if we do give ourselves to the contemplation of Jesus and his great love, it will change us. The more we contemplate the love of Jesus by faith, the more his love gets infused into us and flows through us to a world very much in need of a superhero. So this is part two of the heroic love of Jesus. In part one, we saw how the control freak Pharisees intended to discredit Jesus by catching him healing someone on the Sabbath because it was against their man-made rules to even give medicine to someone on the Sabbath unless it was necessary to save his life. So now we come back to our original scene at the pivotal moment in Jesus' earthly ministry. We find this scene in three places in the Gospels, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 12. And you have to read all three accounts to get the full picture of what went on. For that reason, I have been drawing verses from all three accounts. So imagine Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and a man comes in with a shriveled hand. The Pharisees spot him and get excited. It says in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 2, they watched him carefully to see if he was going to heal this man on the Sabbath. Now, first of all, consider the man. He's a person, not a prop, not something to be used. He's someone's son, maybe someone's father, someone's brother. He has value. But he has a shriveled hand, a shriveled right hand. Most likely, he can't provide for his own family. Not too many jobs you could do in those days with only one hand. Jesus sees him, and he looks at him with compassion. And the Pharisees see this, and they're greatly looking forward to the prospect of catching Jesus breaking their rules. The disciples see the man too. And they know what Jesus is likely to do. They survived one clash with the Pharisees about the Sabbath, and here they are again. And these were dangerous men. If they wanted you flogged or even put to death, they could make that happen. And in their tradition, violating the Sabbath was a capital offense. So the disciples were face to face with angry, powerful, fearsome men. And you got to know the room was filled with electricity. Now it says, Jesus knew their thoughts. Yes, he knew their thoughts. And he also knew where their thoughts would take them. He knew that if he does what he's about to do, they're going to kill him. Now, their anger could be appeased. All Jesus has to do is tell the man to come back tomorrow. And the Pharisees would feel vindicated that Jesus was respecting their rules and acknowledging their authority. And their anger would subside. The danger would pass. Or at the very least, Jesus could heal him in a corner where no one could see it, so as not to inflame their passions. But he couldn't do it in a corner because of the principle. The Pharisees had taken something beautiful, honoring the Sabbath day, and made it into something ugly, something oppressive, something that gave them dominion over the people. For the principle, Jesus had to make it right. Instead of doing it in a corner, he says to the man with a shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." And in Mark chapter 3, verse 4, it says, Jesus asked the Pharisees, "Tell me, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" Well, they had no answer. In Matthew 12, verse 11, we see he points to their hypocrisy. He says, "Which of you, if his sheep falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not reach his hand in and pull it out?" Then he says, "How much more valuable is a man than a sheep?" Jesus just demolished their argument that it would be unlawful to heal this man on the Sabbath. If sheep are to be cared for on the Sabbath, how much more should people be cared for on the Sabbath? And they are caught, silent, speechless, and seething with anger for being publicly chastised. And it says in Mark 3, verse 5, that Jesus looked around at them in anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. Well, very rarely does Scripture tell us what Jesus is thinking, but it says so here. He's angry and he's grieved. This poor man is nothing to the Pharisees. Worse than that, they want to use this unfortunate situation to try to assassinate Jesus' reputation. Jesus wants to heal him. The Pharisees want to use him. Hardness of heart. And Jesus is angry because this man has value to Jesus. A man so unimportant by human standards that none of the gospel writers even knows his name. Yet he's precious to Jesus. But, and here's what makes this moment in Jesus' life so consequential. Up to this time, the Pharisees only tried to discredit him and trap him with their questions. But it was just words. Now something very different is about to take place. And consider what Jesus has to lose here. There is always some mystery when we're trying to understand the infinite God-man and all he went through. But he had a human body and human emotions, and he faced human fears and felt human pain. And as it says in Hebrews 4, verse 15, Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So on a human level, these angry men before him hold the power of death and life. On a human level, the threat to Jesus' human life is very, very real. As a man, he was very vulnerable. And he knows that if he publicly heals this man on the Sabbath, it will set in motion a chain of events that will eventuate in a cruel, horrific death on a cross. I know that the cross is about so much more than this one man, but this moment we're discussing is about this one man. And this moment shows us something beautiful about Jesus. And this particular account was written down by divine inspiration so that we would learn from this moment. So let's savor it. Because what Jesus is about to do in the face of this very real danger shows real love, real courage, and real character. Jesus could back down, but for the person, he could not back down. And for the principal, it must be done in public. So for the principal and for the person, in front of everyone, he says to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stretch out your hand." The Pharisees are seething, the disciples are cringing, and Jesus says, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretches it out, and it says that it was made as whole as the other one. And you can just hear the crowd gasp in wonder. A miracle happened, a beautiful miracle. But did the Pharisees see the beauty of it? Well, not at all. For it says next, "But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might put him to death." Jesus knows all this. He knows what will happen, and yet he does it anyway. He must, because he is who he is. And in that one public act, the Lord of the Sabbath tears to shreds generations of oppressive rules and restores beauty to the Sabbath. In that moment, a man's life and livelihood are restored. And in that one moment, we catch a glimpse of something. In the face of such powerful opposition and such horrific consequences, in such a costly act of kindness, his beauty shines. What heroic love! What unflinching compassion! What uncompromising faithfulness! What a savior! His beauty shines. His heroic love shines. He stands up to the powerful to defend the cause of the weak. He stands up to the oppressor in behalf of the oppressed. He stands up to the rich in behalf of the poor. He stands up to hell in order to take us to heaven. This is the Jesus we know. This is the Jesus we love. There's only one true superhero this world has ever known. His name is Jesus, and he is our Jesus. And his heroic love is just as present for us here at this moment as it was present for the nameless cripple 2,000 years ago. He has championed our cause just as courageously. He has met our needs just as faithfully. For he stared death and hell and all the powers of darkness in the face and did not shy away from dying a cruel death on a cross. Not just for this man, but for each of us who puts our trust in him. So let us draw near to him in faith and love. And let us endeavor to be more like him in our love for others. Let us also learn a lesson from the Pharisees. The problem with people of faith, one problem anyway, is that we can become proud and abusive and love our way of doing things more than even the people we say we do them for. We can either beautify our faith with acts of kindness and love, or we can make it something ugly and oppressive. As we get to know Jesus more and more, if we discover that any of our ways be in conflict with his ways, oh, let us turn from them and turn to him. Let's pray. Lord, we can all see ourselves in this nameless man. He's a lot like us, for we are all crippled in our own way. And you, Jesus, say, "Stretch out your hand to each of us." And you fill us. You complete us. Whatever we lack in our standing before God, you, Jesus, complete for us. So we turn to you in faith and repentance. We stretch out our hands to you, trusting that you, Jesus, will make us whole. In your name we pray. Amen.
How lovely shines the morning star. The nations see. and hail afar. The light in Judah shining, thou David, son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my king of grace, for thee my heart is pining. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious Prince of Graces, filling all the heavenly places. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life my life supplying, sighing, crying, for the savor of thy favor resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Nothing me from him can sever.